telekinesis, telekinetics, being psychic, being able to move matter with your mind, all these different gifts. Some people are more tuned or easily suggested into the activation process of these gifts. Well, here's why some are easy to get it and why some don't seem to know they have the access to these gifts. It's because these particular gifts are actually bound within the kingdoms. So, in your inner kingdom, you can have a great string or line of these gifts. Okay? And in your outer kingdom can be also accentuated gifts like astral projection, like clairaudience. Many, many, many of the different ones. There's a vast array. Some you haven't even figured out yet to know to name them. But it's only the ones that you can represent in your middle kingdom, your now, those are the ones that you can activate and or exercise now. So we say everybody can do ESP. Well, the human creators kind of get a hold of it. They go, nah, I can't do that ESP thing. I can't have people in my head. That's the CIA plot and blah, 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 blah. Well, they then have moved access to that particular gift to their outer kingdom. Or they have an inside kingdom where they kind of know they can, but it's a little bit spooky and they can't really get to it. They know it's there. They know that they have power, but they can't quite get to it. They know they have money in the bank, but they can't find their money check. So they're limited or they're less than, and they have to go through a whole lot of things to figure it out, to have a manifestation show up in their experience. Well, that's tucking it in the inner kingdom. Will what you call or say elude the human creator's capacity to access the very gift that they have already, past tense, summoned. And you've had many people asking about activate the non-physical, activate the ESP, activate the psychic capacity and things. Well, that's nothing other than bringing it or bridging it to the middle kingdom. And every time something shows up that becomes super sensitive or extra sensory, that's only because you've allowed it into your middle kingdom.
It's interesting. Astral projection is outer kingdom.
No. We said that many times the human creator used that when they have it or have access to it. If they can't get our words to say everybody can do it, well, if they can't, the only reason they can't is in the inner or outer kingdom, not in their middle kingdom for which they'd have access to. Can be either. We've had readings where you've had human creators say, I had this experience, I had this out-of-body experience that I've never had again. Or, I thought I was in this very strange place where I could hear dead people. We hear dead people, Bob. Where they have these little anomalies and they want to get back to that place. Well, the reason that they can't get to it instantaneously at their easiest whenever they want to is because they filed it or moved it into their outer or inner kingdom.
You know it through your middle kingdom.
You can experience it anytime when it's in your middle kingdom. Because what happens is that there's no resistance regarding it, of course. That's the good part.
So when you aren't activating it, can't experience it any time, it's either in your outer kingdom or your inner kingdom.
Yes, but see, it's in your kingdoms, otherwise you wouldn't be asking how to activate it.
Are there things that are not in our kingdom, so it wouldn't occur to us?
Yes.
What would be examples of what's not in our kingdom?
If you never heard of parallel world travel, that could be in none of your kingdoms.
And you wouldn't think of it.
And you wouldn't know to activate it.
Or even to ask about it or to think about it.
That's woo-woo. They don't like woo-woo. Let's get it back to real. Okay, you have somebody offers you LSD. You never had LSD before. You don't know what LSD is or acid or whatever tripping you want to trip on. And if you don't accept it in any of your kingdoms, then you may decline that experience. See, that's just a choice. euphoria or whatever they feel, or as they're getting sold on the idea. And they might then file that in the outer kingdom. And then in time, or TikTok realities of now, they might decide that that could be the fastest path to their joy. So that takes the woo-woo out of it to bring it into just the very idea of trying a new thing. But if you didn't know what it was and nobody ever told you what it was and that you didn't know anything about it, you wouldn't have anything to it.
If you haven't heard about it, then it doesn't exist for you. It's not that it's latent inside you and
correct.
Someone activates it.
You have correct. And we use that example because that's a practical, physical anomaly that you could have engaged, you see.
Yeah.
But if you start putting it into spiritual woo-woo, then all of a sudden that's just gobbledygook, you know, jabberwocky foolishness, when that's not necessarily the case, because the same thing is true with asparagus, you see. You can engage asparagus, and if you never have, you wouldn't desire it, you wouldn't miss it, you wouldn't long for it. But if it's offered to you and you go, hey, Carolyn, what's this green stick tree-looking thing? Do we eat that? Yes, Bob, we eat that. So then that immediately moves it from one of your kingdoms to your middle kingdom, and you can try it. And then you get to decide if you'd like to leave it in your middle kingdom and enjoy asparagus often or regularly, or, well, that was about as much fun as a stick in the eye. I think I'll move that to the outer kingdom, never to have this conversation again, you see.
What does it mean to move it to the outer kingdom?
Move it to the outer kingdom means you know asparagus, you've had asparagus, you don't care for asparagus, it's in your kingdoms, but it's not something you would like to engage.
So you don't put it in your inner kingdom.
Yes, maybe there's a food or something you tried that you don't care for any longer. People who change their habits and have a habit and they change the habit, that new habit, the one they replace it with, is being removed to mostly the outer kingdom.
Did you say a habit they had and then knew and then got rid of?
Well, you never get rid of it. No, you move it to the outer kingdom. You replace it with another habit in your middle kingdom.
What's the emotion or reasoning where you know something, but you don't want to use it, and you put it in your inner kingdom? That'd be a dream, a wanting?
An inner kingdom, I really, really, really want this. You want this in physical. You don't want it in woo-woo, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In physical, you might have an experience to where you enjoy something, or you speak something, and let's say your mate, your soulmate, your lover, the one you orgasm with more than anyone else, maybe has an issue or problem with that, then you might take that type of activity and move it to your inner kingdom, because the fastest path to your joy is to have a fun, ongoing relationship with your mate. But if your mate has a problem and doesn't like it, doesn't understand it, doesn't want to understand it, says, no, 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 if you're engaging this, I can't engage with you, then you still have the desire, but you can move it to your inner kingdom to file it away. And it's still there, but you don't have to activate it, which would then, in your mind, in your middle kingdom, could offend, potentially, your mate. That is just an example. Same thing would be true as be smoking in church. You could move that to the inner kingdom. You could still want to smoke, have tobacco, dip a snuff, whatever you want to do, but it's just not really nice or pleasant in church. Therefore, you wouldn't move that to the outer kingdom. You'd move that to the inner kingdom, because as soon as church is over, you're going to have you a jaw.
Those that decide they don't like smoking would move it, if they were smoking or had it once, they would move it to the outer kingdom.
And replace it with another habit. Because you never get rid of anything, see? If you develop a taste for nicotine, you never get rid of it. You can replace it, but you're just like thirsty for water. Once you ever get thirsty for water, you know what thirsty for water. Now, you've never thirsted for water, but other humans know what that is. So exactly. But we weren't using tobacco as a negative. We were just using it as an example.
Okay, so that's the end of that section. Now I'm going to go forward and we're going to play What's It Like When You Shoot Up Heroin, and describes that experience.
Could Ion describe what happens to the body chemistry when someone shoots up heroin? Why do they get that euphoria and whatever they happens to them?
Heroin is a very interesting drug because, well, many now, but in its day, there weren't many drugs that you could just recreationally try that you instantaneously became hooked on. What you call addicted, you use it in a bad way. We don't see addiction as bad at all. We don't add the negative connotation to any addiction. You could be addicted to happiness. All right, so the heroin, there's many ways of doing this now. You're talking about injecting it intravenously?
Yeah, and what happens to the auras and all the different levels of the being?
Now, Carolyn may help us with the dynamics of the compounding of the opiate value or the dopamine release. Okay, fogs and clouds, the blockers. Now, it's not a protease inhibitor, so we're not going that way. Just easy, Carolyn. We'll be all right. But what it does is it basically allows or numbs anything that you would use as a stop. You're driving along and there's a stop sign. Mm-hmm. And so your mind says, this STOP, it's red, it's octagonal, stop. What heroin does is it opens up any block or noticing that would activate in you, in your physical, to recognize the signage, which is to stop.
Are you talking about rules?
No, just the reactions of functioning. If you're outside, the decorum is, especially if you're like in Canada in the wintertime, the rule is, or the fastest path to your joy is to leave your clothes on. On heroin, and we'll blanket some of those as opiates, but with heroin specifically, you just kind of get just woozy, out of it, don't know, don't care, and you may find yourself buck naked in a snowdrift.
That's removing your stops.
Correct. It unblocks your stops. And you don't even have any regard that you ran the stop sign. Okay? They used to do it with ether. People would get really hooked into this ether business back in the day. They call it huffing now. You know, just where you can go to sleep and you just get floating, floating, floating.
And you could urinate in your sleep and not care.
Defecate. And never, you know, many times they do. A lot of your, what they call the date rape drugs.
Yeah.
You mix them with some alcohol. It's not propofol. It's not like that. But it basically puts you out. I mean, and you'll go to the bathroom. You're just out of it.
All your stops are gone. Are those stops mentally created?
Everything is, Bob. Everything has to sieve through the labyrinth of your mind. Otherwise, you don't know it. You don't have any regard of it, and you push it. Well, can you don't? But most would push against it. You're the only one that would go to the edge of the cliff and look over and go, oh, gosh, that's so high. I better back up. I'm afraid I'm going to fall. You'd be the one hanging over there and say, hey, Carolyn, what's at the bottom of this big ravine? Well, the bottom of the canyon, Bob. Well, let's go there. And she's like, okay, then we'll make arrangements to get down there. No. The fastest way to get down there is just to take the next step.
That's one thing I would not do. I don't see myself doing that, right, Carol?
No, but you wouldn't have a regard about it.
Is that what?
No, you wouldn't.
Bob doesn't like heights or the ocean. He gets shooken up. Yeah, you get seasick.
Oh, if I'm on the water, yeah. So relate that. That's been my experience. Relate that to what you're saying.
That's why we said it, because that would be the one thing that would move you. And if you were on heroin and it removed the stops, then you absolutely could get rid of any disdain regarding height.
So you brought up as an example because you knew I did have a stop about that.
Yes, but on heroin you would not.
We're
saved, Bob.
You saved yourself.
Well, don't mind us. We're just not physical.
Yeah, you're subject to error, too, I guess.
Here's what we're subject to. We're subject to the whims of the human creator. That's what it is. It's either isn't right, there isn't wrong.
That's the end of that section. Now we go over to the next thing.
Where is the role of sin, though? Where's the role of sin for the chip body?
We're so excited that you got us to this place. This is so much fun. You've allowed us to be the witness once again, Bob.
Very good.
We would like to deal with sin right out of the chute. Your scriptures and most of the dogma of the word, and we don't use dogma as a mean concept because there's nothing wrong with it, but typically when you start having the degree of dogma or having sin, the scriptures are very clear to say that all have fallen short of the grace and glory of God. That's what sin supposedly is, well, or what you've experienced, are coming to a place where you are going against the God. And we say that's a good definition, and we'll ask Carolyn if she gets a second to look up what someone says that you say sin is. We'd like to clean that up and straighten it up, because most of the Christian world is based on that you're a sinner, you know, saved by grace. And so we'd like to deal with that completely, because it's actually a pretty interesting concept, because it starts affecting all the means and all the bodies, you see. Because if your chemical body is a sinner and your astral body or mystery landscape isn't, you see, you can get it all crossways, and that's where some of the confusion comes from, the grace that they're trying to instill through the Christian church. What do you got for sin, Carolyn?
Sin is a term used mainly in a religious context to describe an act that violates a moral rule or the state of having committed such a violation. Commonly, the moral code of conduct is decreed by a divine entity, i.e. divine law. Do you want me to go on? Just Sin is often used to mean an action that is prohibited or considered wrong. In some religions, notably some sects of Christianity, sin can refer not only to physical actions taken, but also to thoughts and internalized motivations and feelings. Colloquially, any thought, word, or act considered immoral, shameful, harmful, or alienating might be termed sinful.
And the trick of that is thought. Thought to be. Okay, so now let's deal with this. There is apparently sin. And so you're not going against God, who is somewhere in the ethers waiting to come judge you. The sin is the thought against the Creator, against God, based on a law. Well, there you go. The rules in the human Creator, God, if you offend the rules that you make, therefore, by your definition, they empirically would have committed a sin, would they not? If you have a rule about white sugar, and you engage in white sugar and go against what God said, God said through the vice of thought, notice that vice of thought, we've never said that way before. The vice of thought. Well, it's not a vice if it doesn't squeeze you. So it doesn't have to be. But if it isn't the vice of thought, then what happens? You automatically set yourself in a position of less than or sin. And that's the separation between you and you. But it's also, and the Christian church uses it as a separation between you and God. But don't worry. All is not lost. It's okay, because all have fallen short of the grace and glory of God.
Right.
And if you take the heat off of that and then come the ascended or come through the ascension, thankfully with the help of the thinning of the veil, then you start recognizing, so there is sin. So when we were saying let the sin begin, we were offending only the God that is within us. Because people didn't get it when we'd say you are the judge at the judgment seat. Well, that's because you're the deity. And then once you go without contrast, then all of a sudden all the sin is erased. And that's why the sin can be cast into the pit of fire. Or hell, as the Christian church says it, you see. that you have to spend eternity in whatever you wrote. Well, that's where that comes from. That's what Dante had in mind. If you look at the Divine Comedy, if you look at it that way, that is indeed an aspiration that you provide for yourself. So once you clean that up and understand it, in the Christian church, when it says, well, not only if you murder, you shouldn't murder your brother, but if you think about murdering your brother, you may as well have already done it. That's the thought process that separates you from your deity. Wait, let me catch the vernacular. From your deity-ness. So it's great fun, because now, single-handedly, Bob, you have brought us to the place where you have just explained the whole dynamic of this Christian dogma that allows their words to be abjectly correct, but not because they're not fully understood, meaning being read by a little M-A-N, not an ascended E, capital M, capital A, capital N. Then they start realizing, oh, got it. And that's what the Christian church and the scriptures were trying to say, is that once you let Jesus or God, if that's what you want to use, we love Jesus. God is way gooder than hell, so that's okay. If you have Jesus come and live in your heart, then your sins are forgiven. Forgiven. We've done that word. Your sins are given. No, they are forgiven. Meaning forgiven. Pre-allowed.
Pre-allowed? I mean allowed before.
Correct. Very good. Then you come into a place where people have different orientations and they have different belief systems and they don't have problems with this that others call an abomination before God. Well, the only abomination before God is their own self. You don't have the right to say that your belief system is an abomination before God. But you can, but it'd be only affecting your God in your universe. They may find it to be just perfectly wonderful, normal.
I wasn't able to concentrate on this topic. It's rather boring to me, or we're missing something. I don't think people, not in North America, think in terms of sin anymore.
So
Hold it. I know everybody does. That's the power of Pat Robertson and moral majority. There is that sin thing. The reason TV evangelism took over is people didn't go to church. They watched Swaggart on TV. It was sacralizing the TV landscape while as we moved into the chip landscape in the 80s. Those dynamics of the bodies and the McLuhan landscapes are influencing the concept of sin. You've explained and defined sin, but what is the context for the concept of sin? Which culture?
Well, the way we described it, it would actually fit in all of them.
What the heck did Ion just say? What was his point?
Yeah, I didn't follow it either.
We didn't follow it, Ion.
Not it sounded like church.
Yeah, it's not interesting, or you're not dealing with the figure ground things, or you're saying something that we can't focus on because it's an hour and a half into the show, or what you're saying we're not getting. So what was the main point?
You brought up sin.
You did. I was talking about the bodies, and then you said, oh, you brought us to, and I thought we're going to a new place. And you said, oh, sin. Oh, geez, that old war horse, that old topic, that old meme. And so it was not intriguing to me. It was not to me a new place. Now, maybe if I rehear this, it's a new place. But
well, it'll be in your archive.
Right.
And others will go, Bob, how could you miss that? He just straightened out the whole thing.
Okay, what did he straighten out? That's Christian dogma, which does not have a context anymore. There's no context for Christian dogma. And people become Christians as a hobby. As McLuhan said, they get more excited about their hobby than their job, and then everybody has to join their hobby and become a Christian. That's the hyper-moralism.
And they're so Christian, they go out and shoot people who don't agree with them.
That's a silly thing. They don't understand that the rise of televangelism happened in the 80s because the computer was starting to come in. The old TV landscape was getting polluted because TV was desperate to get attention. And people wanted to clean up the TV landscape, so they demanded a guy like the PTL Club and Tammy Baker and all those to be on there for many hours talking pure concepts and thought that would clean up the TV body. And they had despicable chemical body lives. But that wasn't the issue. They brought in Reaganism and the neoconservatism to clean up the TV landscape. Makes total sense to Carol. And that's probably more interesting than figuring out the concept of sin. So, we never talk with the audience anymore, but what do they think of this?
Well, they wanted to know what we described, so that's what we did.
Now, Ion, it sounds like he's getting petulant. I mean, he's like, you know, well, you hurt Ion's feelings.
No, because we don't have feelings. We don't care. The point of the sin ratio is alive, and whether you know it or agree with it or acknowledge it or not, you judge yourself proportionately regarding it.
No, I agree that that's there. It's the way, this is with sex addiction. Why is the sin blame not blamed on the concept of sin now? It's blamed on sex addiction.
Right.
And the reason there are these changes is the technological ground changes. That's McLuhan's point, and that seems to be a valuable thing to see.
I mean, for a whole sex addiction in any other age would be called a sin. So why is it not addressed as a sin anymore?
And why is it accepted? What is generating the meme acceptance for the meme of sex addiction? What is the colossal preference in people to go for that? That is an interesting factor in this.
And that's why Bob fights with Ben all the time, that Ben can't seem to get the whole
And I don't fight so
picture.
Much, but I have brought this up as an ongoing drama with Ion about, and Ion has adopted a bit by saying, yes, the chip body affects the astral body, affects the chemical body. Well, this is an example of what I'm talking about in relation to the concept, the eternal phenomenon of guilt, shame, whatever you want to call that human less than feeling.
Well, those are emotions.
Okay. Emotions. Let's call them emotions. Why these emotions? So with all that in mind, what was the main point? I think you were saying that people realize they're the deity, then they can judge themselves. Then they can determine who their sin or what their sin is, because they're the judge of it.
And they are, and they are. And that's within the Christian faith and without the Christian faith, too.
Well, you mean the words are there, but it's misinterpreted.
Yes. You understand the meaning, then you can apply it practically to your chemical body, and euphoric bliss and grace will abound.
McLuhan, a devout Catholic.
Well, we don't know about devout.
Yeah, but he tried to do Mass every day, which most Catholics didn't. Anyways, we know nothing exists. There's ratios all over the place. Anyways, he was concerned about religious life, spiritual life, and he said the image of God, which came in with Newton, the idea of this is a cultural image of God, the outer kingdom image, that it was a guy who wound up the universe and then removed himself, and then the universe just wound down robotically. And that's probably where Calvinism comes in. Okay, but McLuhan says we're in a different media environment in the 20th century, so our image of God's going to change, and that's why the phenomenon of God is dead was happening in 1960. He would say, no, God is not dead. There's no way you're going to get rid of God. There is an argument over what it is, but anyways, get rid of that. The point is the image of God changes. And so he said the new image of God will no longer be a clock, it'll be a radio. And so much of radio is tuning in, aligning with the frequency. And I find a lot of the metaphors that Ion uses to describe deity fits in the predicted image of radio as God.
Precisely. You took the same topic. When we said it, you weren't interested, but when you moved the ground to where your dynamic was being constructed from, it was logical and progressive and appropriate. So if for nothing else, we got your attention and you agreed with yourself, and that's a good thing.
But wait a minute. I'm not just trying to agree with myself. I want to figure out what you were trying to say.
You accidentally agreed with yourself, and that's a good day. Yeah.
I'm not even sure about that, what you're saying. I'm not sure what you're referring to. I just laid out something I think about in terms of what is a cause, what's being affected.
And how.
And how. So you have radio as a tuning in, and that would probably lead into the New Age ideology. But that young kids probably don't go for that because they're into computers and they broadcast. You could say the kids are of a different image of God or metaphor, and it would be like definitely creating your own space. Autism is that. Create your own space. Don't interfere. I'm impervious. Nothing can dominate me because I can make my own media world. You know, I'm not a consumer in a sense. I'm not a passive receptacle. what would be the image of God for that? And what would be the sin? And it could be that in the internet age, the web 2.0 age, sin becomes sex addiction, which seems to me the fact that the chemical body gets trivialized. It's a minor apparatus. Mm-hmm. That's why before sin, when chemical body dominated, sin was the chemical body issue. The emotions were a big deal. Now people don't have emotions, mm-hmm. or they can be distracted from their emotions. And so if you have an emotional problem with sex, it's just an addiction. That's how I understand why it surfaces. Mm-hmm. Now, becoming your own deity is what people have when they're on the internet. Mm-hmm. They're their own deity, you know, and I understand, and Ion has to agree with me, that the chip landscape mimes this thinning of the veil, which is the traditional veil.
Mm-hmm. It ushers it.
That's what you mean when the chip body affects the astral concepts, the astral body landscape, right?
The astral co-equivalent. Astral co-equivalents.
What?
The chip body affects the astral co-equivalents.
Equals the playing field.
Equals the playing field between interest in astral projection versus
budget. In an application of less than in a deity status.
Didn't get that. You want to say it again? Did you get that?
And the application of a less than deity status.
God doesn't sin.
God doesn't sin?
Right.
And if you're a God, then you don't sin.
Correct.
And that can be accepted today because there's such weighty imagery goes into the chemical body.
It's easier than that. If you read the definition of sin, you can clean it up just by your thought.
But I don't know if people would be guided by their thinking.
They are. These young people, they have the thought that what they're doing is not a sin. The 13-year-olds sitting in front of their computers on YouTube.
And that is caused, look at the factors, internet, YouTube. The chip body makes them think they don't have sin.
Yeah.
Because so the sin is embedded in the chemical body, and that's a minor apparatus.
So it's about the thought.
No, the technology evokes the experience.
Defining it, putting on the wider aspect of what's changing their thought.
Yeah, what's changing their thought. And the thought, you can then go into his thought, as Krishna Murray would say, his thought, a mechanical reaction to the impressions. Mm-hmm. And 500 years ago, people had a natural environment. The impressions were different, mm-hmm. chemical body. Now they've got media coming at them and creating their own media, Twittering. The impressions in that evokes different thoughts, but the thoughts are automatic. Mm-hmm. So if you have this idea that you're a God and you don't have sin because you're a God and you judge mm-hmm. yourself, what happens when the EMP comes in, knocks out the computers, then you can't have that drug of the chip body life stimulating you to keep that thought going. McLuhan would say you'd fall back into the old kind of thinking because you'd be back just in your chemical body. So those changes get in the way of the purity of what Ion's saying, which is you're your own deity. But if you just have that thought, it'll get mixed up in the media environments and in the subsequent effects of those media environments.
So you don't think you're your own deity if you don't have a chip body?
Yeah, most people, they wouldn't feel that way.
What do you think, Ion?
Not a chance that this is a help.
You're saying not a chance that I'm right.
Not a chance that if you take away the iBots, that people are going to go back to church.
Now, that's a good point. And the Evergreen said that technology changes people, but once they're changed, you can say it was caused by technology, you never go back. So that's where the chip body helped bring in the second coming or the millennium or this breakthrough. Mm-hmm. It helped us.
And you know why they call it a second coming?
Because of Viagra?
Very good.
They don't like that way. That was a human.
Well, or Cialis, then you can have a cocktail while you're coming again.
Oh, okay. No, why? Mean technically within the Bible?
No, we're not pushing against the Bible, but that's not what we're talking about.
He never came the first time.
No. Yes, he did. You're just as much a God right here, right now, as you ever will be.
Are you talking about theologically what does second coming mean, or what people think they mean from the Christian culture?
We can't tell the difference. The Christian church speaks about the second coming. The Hebrewoids are waiting for God to come the first time. The Samaritans, Babylon, and all those, what you call the Muslims, chakras. They're all kind of working on the same meme with slight variations. One includes virgins and the other one comes from a virgin birth.
What is a common meme? The act of waiting?
No, the second coming of the deity.
Oh, yeah, the second coming, the return of the deity. Right.
Right. So here we go. You're born. You're already God. Little ones can talk to dead people. They can see spirits. They're not pushing against anything. They demand and force their will and way to be manifest in their reality. Blah, 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 blah. Then they come to a place where they get beat out of their knowingness. And then, no, honey, you're not supposed to see dead people. Okay, I can't see them anymore. And then they mature and love that contrast, and they go for that contrast because they feel they've been beat out of something. Then they come back, and then they're waiting on the second coming. Well, the second coming is the realization for the individual human creator that they indeed be, do, and have all as a god. See, the pharaohs, Egyptian pharaohs, they got it. They were a god. They got it, and they said it correctly. But then they let their power go by then worshiping other gods. When you do that, you're giving away your power.
The world has been changed by ship body and TV body, all this stuff. And we've all brought to a point where we can't go back to the old thoughts. But as Joseph Campbell says, they're looking for a new myth. I prefer Ion. They're looking for a reason. And it's totally appropriate that Bob aligns himself with Ion because Ion is a way of articulating to the global mutation that's happened, a way of offering a thinking about what's happening. That's why Ion rules.
Eckhart Tolle has a very close
monopoly on the way to say it. On the way to say it. Yeah.
Good. Very good. And if you can stand it, that's as good a way as any. But if you can't, there are others. Very good.
It's logical that, see, all my work led to this, Carol, this point, because we've reached the point where everybody's been changed, but we don't know how to think about the change or how to discuss it or what it means for society. We've actually come to the Garden of Eden. We've now arrived at Adam.
Arriving at Adam, yes.
Yeah, arriving. And Ion shows up, the impossible creation of Ion, just to talk to us and coach us or remind us of what only ever worked. Mm-hmm. But we could never get to the only ever worked after we'd run through every other excuse or alibi or rabbit hole, mm-hmm. which is this technology.
And as you continually abdicated your throne, then all of a sudden you started longing for your kingship.
And so there's Eckhart Tolle in that, but nobody's as comprehensive as our radio show. Eckhart Tolle can't talk about most things. He can only talk about one thing.
What he does is he relates to people who are listening to him because he goes into how depressed he was and he was going to give it to
him. He reminds him of the old ways,
right.
and supposedly giving a reason of how to get out of it.
And if I can write a book and make $1 million, then you can too. So it's
did
like
he say
a,
that?
No, but no. It's like a rags to riches. Yes. And I was, you know, down.
It's within the old cliches of success.
Right.
You know, and I am saying there's no measure of anything anymore. And Ion is the final anarchy, but a coherent, rational anarchy that will be sympathetic to your shock at what is at the anarchy that is among us, so running amok. So that is the eloquence in what Ion is saying. And then our interacting with Ion publicly is the human question. Answers from Ion will be questioned by the humans. Mm-hmm. And Ion will question our answers and our interpretation. So that drama of dialectical interplay is the best Socratic stage happening. But the point is, Ion is providing all kinds of examples of our spiritual gifts and that we lay down. So it is necessary for Ion to define sin, define it and correct it the way it is. Maybe I don't find it interesting because I know that because I'm living in the present situation. So I just remind people of the causes of how we got to here.
Good.
Of the secular causes, because there is the fact that the veil is thinning. Now, this is the question. Is the veil thinning because of the hospital technology, because the magma is changing, or is it caused by some other thing, by human spirit, the goth?
The activation that people are coming into their place of back to where they came from, which was God.
But that's happening, it seems, mainly because of the technological phase we've gotten to. And it's those effects.
Well,
and they're affecting nature.
Right. No.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. What's the however in there? What is causing the change?
Human creators are coming back into their power, and that change is coming because nothing else that they try and abdicate power to is fulfilling them. I had my faith in them yellow dog Democrats, and they let me down. So I had faith in them Republicans. It's going to reform the reformers, and they let me down. And I was banking it on my husband or my wife to make me happy.
But I am just talking about the chemical body brain looking for a reason for its disappointments.
Of why it's not powerful or not a deity.
The point is that the chip body caused all those disappointments. Nobody could do anything on the chip landscape, not even Wall Street. We always can point to the technologies as causing the disappointment in the chemical body. The chemical body should know that, but then the chemical body says, well, yeah, the computer made me think I'm a god, but that even failed. So now we're going into what we actually call the yearnings of first nature, the yearnings of ourselves on the deepest level that are not described by any culture or technology.
Indeed.
That's the alpha and the omega.
And that makes room for God to return, and so everybody will notice that God's back. We're back. Well, then guess what? Then as a marvelous creator, you've just now answered the sin issue. You've just now entered the mystery landscape of living in physical with your meat sack on this planet, in this world, eternally, without contrast.
Like the ultimate dream, the ultimate unrealized creation is now possible.
It's always been possible. It's the first time it's been perceived.
In a group sense, or more than one person seeing
it. Well, it's.
I mean, individuals saw it in their own rhythms and cycles.
Maybe. But see, if J.B. Swagger got up and said, praise God, now get on your knees before me, well, they'd have a problem with that, you see. But Moses pulled it off, effectively.
Pulled off what?
God. When they ask me who you are, what do I tell them? And the burning bush screams back, tell him I am. So he goes down and they say, hey, Moses, what's the name of God? Who is God? And Moses says, well, he told me. What did he say? He said, I am. God told you, Moses, that I am, that you are God? Yep, that's what he said. Okay. So then it adds a whole twist on the thing. You had to separate your bodies and give all your power away. Well, now your power is coming back because you're desiring back with the thinning of the veil to for your meat sack and all your bodies. Bob, this includes all your bodies, not just that one was wittier or cheekier than another. It's that it allows you to come into this place of understanding that you're God. And that you say how it is, and that's how everything gets into your experience, period.
Hey, Cal, do you recall in the first or second session we asked Ion what to call Ion?
Mm-hmm.
And Ion said, I am. And we didn't like that. We wanted to make it personal or something else. But Ion said what Moses said. We said, what do we call you?
He said, I am. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. So Ion, in the Ray Allen show, you were asked if you were the Quetzalcoatl Mayan god, and you said yes. Now, people might project that you're God, but we know you're not, but you are clarifying things like imagined UFO contact, that superior being clarifies things. How much do you accept that designation?
We like that designation.
That you're a superior being. Now, you don't want that. You don't want but you demonstrate your superior because you can out-argue anybody, probably, and switch topics. We hypnotize shock and awe with the Ion performance on the radio, but we're not trying to make a god out of Ion.
Remember, we're trying to get you to remember you are the god.
Like Frater said, Ion wants to get to the point where we say, we don't need you anymore, Ion.
Absolutely.
Right. But what's interesting, the paradox or process is Ion shows up, create shock and awe for a while until people get the message. So it's like Ion is the final technology. Which is interesting, Carol, that Goff is where all creations come from or go to, unrealized creations. So there's a subtle interplay between the Goff and technology and our creations.
That's why Christine's baby Aaron becomes so very significant on your little island of Lost.
What happened to that little baby, Carol?
The grandmother took her.
So that's why the baby becomes significant, right? Not, is it Christine? Not Christine, but...
Christine Littleton.
Claire.
Yeah, Claire Ion. Not Christine. Claire, you agree with that?
We don't have to agree with it. It's corrective.
Okay, so you're saying the image of the baby is a metaphor for what? For Ion?
No. Coming into your power. And so on Lost, there's no room for the baby. And have babies on the island. Remember the mother's...
Oh, yeah. They're lost. It's like hell. No room to tap into the physical.
There's no creation.
I mean, to the non-physical. No creation. So they're all potential vampires. Disconnect.
Well, or can be inhabited by others. By
like Saeed. Yeah. Saeed got inhabited.
Saeed. And then those that are in charge from the others... decide they know how to pick it up and work it out, so then they start preparing poisons to take over those that are the smoke doctors.
McLuhan said at electric information speeds, art, science, media, and nature converge, or art, science, and nature converge through media. But this convergence, I've been saying, has been going on for 10 years or so, and I announced a year or so ago that that was obsolete. The bodies are obsolete, and we're moving into the unknowable or the strange, the mystery landscape. And then Obama, the mystery president, came in, and then Ion showed up. So I agree with Ion that we're at a new nexus, or we're at the Alpha Omega coming together. People will listen to Ion, and they'll say, okay, I've heard this before. Because there have been Eckhart Tolles and Alan Watts and different people talking about this over the last 50 years, right? And they got their followers. It's like Ion is completing it all, but going a little further than Krishnamurti, Joseph Campbell, McLuhan, everybody, going further than anybody, and yet keep making it simple.
That too.
When Ion goes talking about sin and defines it, I like bringing in the other thoughts about technological causes.
Okay, but
as to show that we are including the complexity, but I say that those complexities are things you can think about. And you go back and read McLuhan and say, oh, that explains that. But then you got to deal with today in the mystery landscape. And I say Ion deals with today in the most modern, up-to-date, what?
Now.
Yeah, deals with now.
Good. Great show. What else you got, Bob?
I never think we get that fully explored, what I just said. Why don't we ask if there's any questions, because we're going to end soon. But what's the audience thinking? Are we too much in our own little discussion?
No, it's fine. They asked the question, and they were interested in the whole sin thing, and you weren't, but that's okay. They were, and enjoyed it immensely.
I would say if you adopt the concept that I'm king of the world, or I'm the deity, if you adopt that concept, you might go through a lot of contrast because you have to realize the implications of that. You have to realize that you're probably thinking that only because the media environment makes you that. You're thinking that concept by default. That's what it is, I'm saying, Carol. You're coming to the deity idea that you have today by default because the technology encourages you to think that way in relation to previous cultural biases. That means Ion's got to get through and explain through. That's why Ion would show up and talk every day, because he's going to want you to think you're got it. Mm-hmm. But then you're going to be confused by how what you think you get by getting it doesn't happen. And then you say, oh, okay. So then you point out, well, the chip body made you feel a deity. But that's because it created that in you. You would need to get to the feeling of being deity, not because of the computer. That's what Ion is always on the sidelines saying, well, there's this ongoing now knowledge that's always been here, always is, that is not involved with technological seductions.
Good.
That's why I support Ion, though all the old people who like the McLuhan stuff, they said, bring that Bob back. Bring the guy who talked the complex stuff. But I'm saying that McLuhan led to this point. McLuhan predicted this point. Right,
yeah,
Ion?
Those people. people. They're just...
they don't want to acknowledge the point that the mystery landscape has arrived.
They're just creating by default by letting you say the words that they can't think.
And they're looking for a reason. I'm telling them that reason is incomplete. In a world where you can't communicate a constant reason, we're going to feature Ion every week just so, and run through the ritual every week so you can get a glimpse of the reason. But it's a bigger reason, including not needing a reason, not wanting a reason, not having to have a reason. Okay, Ion, I think I'm finished there. I think I got to talk about what I want to talk about.
Very good.
The basic point I think you were saying about sin is that when you realize you are your own deity, then you judge the sin, the ball's in your court, and that's a new way, and you don't rely on anybody else. And you have said that before, so I don't see why you say we come to a new place. So how many have tuned in tonight?
You've got about 11% more than last week.
And so that's about 2,500?
At least.
Anybody from parallel worlds?
Yes.
We learned the other day that there is two of you within this world, within the middle, outer, and inner kingdom world, as well as the parallel worlds, which are not this world, but another world. There's another one of you there. So there's two kinds of doubles. Right, Ian? You were getting on that last week.
Mm-hmm.
So when I encounter Carol and she seems different, that would be the double within this world.
Or
the meat sack traveler from another world.
Or the subtle changes in you. It recognizes differentials between other human creators.
You mean I recognize that Carol can be a different person from day to day? Is that what you mean?
No. You see her in a different light, just like your 3 ounces of muscle.
And the reason I see her in different light?
It's because you gaze from different lights. Or
oh, because I'm different.
Right.
Now, I've been mutated slightly. Since Ion showed up,
I don't know about slightly. You've questioned and embraced way more than ever. It's the culmination of all those things you used to think about. Now you think them and know them and are gobbling it all up and enjoying it deliciously by not knowing anything and being exposed to everything.
So you're saying that it could be a double within this world, Carol could be, or a parallel world. Another meat sack coming in.
Are you?
Or me registering.
Noticing the difference.
Noticing the difference, right, okay.
Yes.
And it would be ultimately hard to tell which was happening.
Well.
No. Really. If I do a major meat sack travel, I'll know it, right?
If that is your desire, yes.
You bring the sin up and you make that statement. It's an important statement. Then I say my, quote, McLuhan line or Bob's five body line just to show that we're capable of including complex thought about the process. We're not just saying, oh, sin is this and that's it and get in line and believe this statement.
Right.
And then Carol brings in her complex medical knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good dynamic between the three of us to show a comprehensive show, because you're going to have people in the audience who require simple things and never have thought this stuff before. And a simple new explanation by Ion is mind-blowing to them, and that's good enough. But then there's others, because you get everybody, all kinds of audience, who want more complex stuff and thought they thought what Ion said, well, they knew that. But then we bring in our complex Bob and Connie stuff so that fills in that gap. At least these people aren't dupes. They can be equally cynical and sophisticated, too. That's the dynamic. Is that why Ion chose, or Ion, no, you didn't choose us. We chose you, right?
Correct.
So we wanted to have this interaction with the simple truth.
Mm-hmm.
So Ion is a major new technology. I say Ion is equal to contact with UFOs. Now, maybe there's a ratio if an actual UFO showed up and landed on the White House lawn and all that.
Well, if it's a UFO and it landed and they figured out what it was, then the ground changed and it's no longer unidentified, is it, Bob?
And then the alien might not tell them what they could tell us, but Ion is here to tell us whatever we want. There's no rules with Ion. You're the most liberated FT contact.
Yeah.
As I said, this is the biggest event in human history.
So far.
This Ion phenomenon. And you chuckle at me, I'm like sort of like Chicken Little or Noah saying, hey, hey, guys, look at this. Look what showed up. And you laugh at me trying to get people to notice it.
Oh, it's great fun.
My old buddies, trying to get the old buddies to know and see it.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good. Great fun. Thanks for the interaction. We love to play.
Okay, that was good.
As everything's coming up roses and looking for a reason.